Good morning and welcome to a very sad, very early Down to Dunk podcast. I am Luke. I'm joined with Taylor.
Hello.
Andrew and Jay are sick, so we had to bring in special guest John Hamm.
Well, a guest.
Yes.
Anyway. I call him special ops.
It's special ops.
Yeah,
we had to bring in the big guns.
Yeah. This is the first podcast ever that has neither Jay nor Andrew on it.
Yeah. So it could be great.
We're terrible. We'll see.
Hey,
time will tell.
It's going to land somewhere probably on the great side since Hambone's here.
Oh, it's going to be good.
By the way, what's an acceptable nickname to go by for you?
Not Hambone.
Not Hambone.
Dang.
Yeah.
Hambini.
No. Just okay.
Hammy.
Hammy
has gained some traction over the years.
Okay,
pretty simple.
We're gonna be trying out a few over the course of this next hour. I can feel.
This is what you can do is just say yes or no immediately after we say a name. If you say no, we will not use it anymore. But that's how we're gonna do this.
Deal,
guys. I don't feel like we need to rehash the week, so we might need to move straight into Twitter questions, especially since Andrew and Jay aren't here. Thunder not in the playoffs.
Yeah, let's
deal with the elephant in the room. Thunder not in the playoffs.
They're not in the playoffs. Just real quick, they obviously beat the Timberwolves, but then the Pelicans beat the Spurs and were up 23 at one point. It was amazing. I watched the game yesterday, and it was not for all the Thunder fans who think like, "Wow, how lowly of the Spurs! I can't believe you hate the Thunder so much that you would let the Pelicans win." It was not that. I witnessed it. The Pelicans really played really well, and the Spurs were trying from start to finish.
Yeah, I mean, there was a point where I thought, "How far do the Pelicans get ahead before Pop just waves the white flag?" And I thought, you know, maybe at halftime he comes out with Aaron Baines and empties the bench. But no, I mean, they closed the gap in the second half and came close to pulling it off. And he did burn the starters late into the fourth quarter. So,
and they were, I mean, it was a 3-point game with 20 seconds left or something like that. I mean, it got really close. Kawhi hit an and-one 3-pointer, I think, or just a 3-pointer, and it's a timeout after. Anyway, I mean, they were really trying. So the Pelicans, they got a good win.
I was going to say, it's the Spurs. They're not going to play Tim Duncan 32 minutes, which is what they played him.
Yeah,
if they were trying to lose,
yeah,
good that's point. Not how they operate.
Yeah,
and so I mean,
it's always best not to leave your fate in someone else's hands.
Exactly.
Yeah,
so, you know that's the position the Thunder wound up putting themselves in.
Yeah, it was a crazy end to what has been a crazy NBA season,
the craziest,
and not always in a good way, but crazy. Let's go into Twitter questions.
Twitter questions.
At Cody Son of Steve wants to know, how do you tell the difference between a good coach and a bad one? The world seems so polarized on Scott Brooks, and I just don't know. I agree with at Cody Son of Steve. Sometimes I don't know. Like, a lot of the times, the best way to tell, it seems, based on Twitter and online reaction, is if they win or lose. Scott Brooks, if he wins, you know, has got us 2 or 3 championships by now, is a great coach. And just the fact that he hasn't, he's bad. And it's just hard to say. Like, I was talking to a friend about, like, a good play versus a bad play. A lot of times it's like, oh, that's a terrible play, just because it doesn't always, like, our shots don't land. And it's tough.
Yeah, I was thinking about that, and I was thinking about, you know, play calls and whatever, and I'm not good enough at X and O's to really be able to look at what's going on the court and be like, wow, what a great play call, or what a great, you know, whatever. They really pulled that off. But what I look at is how does a coach overachieve or underachieve with the personnel that he has on the team? So let's take a bad coach who's like, this is a very obvious example of a bad coach. Randy Whitman is a bad coach because the Wizards are terrible offensively, and they are underachieving for who they are. But you look at their team, just their starting lineup when they're all healthy. You have John Wall, Bradley Beal, Paul Pierce, Nene, and Marcin Gortat. That team should not be bad offensively. Yeah. Like, those are all very good offensive players, and they're underachieving. And they're in the playoffs, but they're in the East. They're not playing well. They're winning games, but they're not playing well. So that's how I look at it. And then you have a guy like on the other end, you have Greg Popovich, who you can say, yeah, he has Tim Duncan, he has all these consistencies or whatever. But you look at a game, you know, I think of 2-3 years ago when they were playing the Heat on TNT and he rested all his starters. Do you guys remember that? There was a big hoopla over that. They got fined over it. And so it was all of their role players, and they still almost won that game.
Right.
I can't tell you exactly what Pop did in that game, but I can tell you that team overachieved because Pop was the coach of that team.
Yeah. Yeah.
How do you look at that, John?
Yeah, I've got a lot of thoughts on the matter. Sometimes it can be deceiving because you occasionally get a coach like Byron Scott, who is very successful in New Jersey, who also had Jason Kidd. Mm-hmm. Now you take Jason Kidd away from him. He had a little bit of success in New Orleans, but other than that, he's pretty much been a dud as a head coach. Mike Brown, similar situation. So the results can deceive you a little bit. When you look at the role of a head coach, normally we see the game day presentation, and a lot of people jump to conclusions based on that. But there is so much behind the scenes that we're not aware of. Player development is a huge thing, and that you know, is his assistant coaches that are largely involved with that as well. But managing talent is a huge thing, and that's what you're talking about here. And talent can be it can be radio on-air personalities, it can be artists, it can be professional athletes, it can be sports center anchors. You know, these are not your typical swappable people like an accountant, for example. And managing those egos and managing all of those little industries, because they've all got representation and they've all got, you know, they are their own thing. That is huge. And so a lot of people, I see this so often, it just drives me nuts. You don't treat professional athletes like you do high school and college. So, yeah, if you're coaching a high school team and you lose to the Knicks on the road, maybe you come in the next morning at 8 o'clock and you run laps around the gym. Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Don't do that at the professional level.
Yeah.
So, and the one thing that we saw yesterday in the exit interviews, I mean, Brooks has got the players solidly on his side.
Yeah.
They think very highly of him. I don't think they always do what he wants them to. As we've seen with Russ this season, chucking 35-foot three-pointers to try to win the game, for example. But, you know, by and large, he has the player support, and that's a huge thing.
And that's kind of what I feel like is happening to Brooks. I think he does have these late game play calls, or he'll call a play, but he leaves it open for Russ to improvise. You know,
yeah,
innovate and improvise, yeah, on the when he has the ball or to go get the ball. Like the other day, I can't remember what game it was. We were talking on here, and Anthony Morrow was passing it in. I think it was for the game or for the tie,
yeah,
or something.
Yeah.
And Russ came and got the ball and just took a terrible shot. I mean, it was a terrible shot. And I felt like afterwards, Anthony Morrow was implying that that wasn't the play that was called. But Russ, I'm happy Russ got the ball. I'm happy he was the one taking the shot at the end of the game. Like, that may not be on Brooks. And we can't hold Brooks to those one-off plays or those one bad plays.
Yeah.
Or even Russ taking 35 three-footers at point. Because it's like, that is part of Scott Brooks' talent management, is giving Russ that freedom, right?
Yeah,
you got to let Russ be Russ. I mean, that's such a cliche for Russell Westbrook at this point, but
it's interesting because when you look at Scott Brooks and this team, the huge thing, and we say like, oh, it's the Thunder, what the Thunder's so good about is player development. And that has to be, a large part of that has to be Scott Brooks.
This is the organizational design, and it's the way it's always going to be. They are going to draft young guys. They're going to acquire young players that need to improve, or they've got some things that need to be fixed.
Yeah, and part of that is because we're a small market team. That's what we have to get young guys, because we're not going to lure your LeBron Jameses to Oklahoma City. We are going to get young guys and show them our culture and get them to where they like us and want to re-sign with us, like a Kevin Durant. Hopefully again next year, like again a Kevin Durant. But we're not going to sign huge free agents from other teams. And part of that is Scott Brooks. And so everyone's seen like the little tidbits and like the media that like, oh, the Thunder aren't sure about Scott Brooks. I saw that yesterday.
Yeah. Woj came out with an article saying, basically just saying, and you're the best person to talk about this, Ham. I read your thoughts on it yesterday, but Woj came out saying the Thunder are going to spend some time considering if they bring back Scott Brooks next year or not. So,
and that just struck me as Scott Brooks's agent going to Woj and saying, hey, I got something for you to write here. And the reason for that, Brooks is in the last year of his contract. Now, the article mentioned that there's a team option for another year. That's the first time I've ever heard that. I always thought he was on a flat four-year deal. But regardless, he's basically a lame duck coach.
Yeah.
Coaches don't like to be lame ducks. They like to be locked up for several years. Yeah. In the event that a team decides to fire them, they're going to get compensated for any remaining money left on the deal. So I honestly think it's more of Brooks saying, it's time to extend my deal.
Yeah.
And if you're not going to, there's other opportunities that I need to go look at. And so I really feel it was more that angle, maybe his agent trying to push things a little bit.
That's really interesting because literally everyone else is taking that as like, oh my God, the Thunder are finally going to fire Scott Brooks. Yeah. You know what I, you know, and I think that's what Woj knew was going to happen. Yeah. You know, the way he worded it and all this stuff. So now everyone's talking about it and,
it just seems interesting because there's been other seasons like this has been a coach who's done very good and gotten into deep in the playoffs before. And this is the first year. This is the hard year to point him at and be like, this is the coach's fault. When this year, it's obviously not the coach's fault.
It's probably best coaching job he's done.
Yeah. There's been huge, huge injuries this year. And he's done, you know, literally the best with what he's had, which isn't very much.
The man's been handed nothing but adversity all season.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they were in the playoff hunt until the very last game of the
season. And the other interesting thing is he never lost the players. It wasn't a game like I was watching a Denver Nuggets game versus us where it's like, these guys are not listening to the coach. They hardly have a coach. And
there was like a Shaq and a Fool where like Randy Foy, they came down and people assumed a timeout was going to be called, and Randy Foy just walks to the bench and sat down. There was no timeout.
Oh my God.
Denver's still running offense. They're like, get in. So,
goodness.
You know, no lapse of communication like that.
Yeah. Either. And so it's just interesting that this is the year that the questions, not just from fans, but like an article from like someone from Woj, just went like, oh, we're Thunder aren't sure about Scott Brooks. It's interesting that you say it. You think it would come from his agent. That makes a little bit more sense.
Yeah.
That's my hunch. But again, nothing in the article surprised me. Of course, they're going to reevaluate it.
Yeah.
I don't think this is any different than in years past.
I agree. That makes a lot of sense.
Or for basically any other team that doesn't have a coach that's not Popovich, you know, or whatever these coaches that have been there for a long time, or
speaking of which,
betting on
at B Dub Guero wants to know if you could have any coach in the league except Popovich for the Thunder, who would you choose and why? The interesting thing is like, imagine the Warriors who've upgraded this year, who changed their coach before. Who did they have before?
Then Mark Jackson.
Mark Jackson upgraded to
Steve Kerr.
Thank you. And that's such a risky move
to have
a good coach and upgrade to a guy who hasn't coached before and knowing, okay, we're going to be better because of this. And I think that's what Thunder fans want to do. And that's nearly impossible to do. There's so many variables and it could have gone so bad.
Oh my gosh. This does not happen in the league. You do not bring in a head coach that has never coached before. Not even been an assistant head coach or anything. I think he's just coached AAU or some his son's team or something. But it's like this, you don't bring in a coach like that and you don't see an improvement from an already really good playoff team like this before. No. I can't think of anyone else.
No, it was lightning in the bottle. And some Thunder fans are trying to comparing this to the Bulls. Like, okay, Brooks is Doug Collins. Who's Phil Jackson?
Oh, gosh.
Now, Phil Jackson is not on the Thunder bench. Maybe Rex Kalamian is a genius that I'm unaware of, but I honestly don't think he's there. So, again, I heard so much about Eric Spoelstra. They need to fire him. Pat Riley is going to take over. They need to bring in someone else.
Oh, yeah.
LeBron bumped Eric Spoelstra. He doesn't like him. And, you know, that all worked out okay. The reality is, Brooks is produced. He is given. The results are there. They're public record. They've just had some adversity the past few years. And guess what? San Antonio's had adversity over the years as well, and they haven't always had a parade at the end of the year.
Yeah. So. Yeah. The Thunder fans were just so hard on the team. Like, we're hard on Perk, and we're like, oh, we need an offensive big. We get Cantor, which is that, and now we're like, oh, he doesn't play defense.
Oh, we need a defensive big. We need a defensive big.
Like people have flaws, and coaches have flaws, and you know, the bad of Scott Brooks, there's another coach that we bring in is not going to be perfect and is going to have flaws. And I just, it's scary to think who we could bring in and be like, well, I don't know.
Now, as far as the question goes, if you could have any coach in the league except Popovich, I'd probably go after Brad Stevens.
Yeah.
Brad Stevens, Rick Carlisle was a guy I thought about too.
Simply because, he's proven.
Right. Right.
Yeah, Brad Stevens, absolutely. A guy who overproduced with the team. I mean, the Boston Celtics were not supposed to be good this year, and they've been really good.
And so, yeah, he strikes me as a guy that, again, ego management would be not a big deal with him. X's and O's, strategery would be a big thing with him. Yes. So, yes. You know, and player development as well. So
he's also not on the Celtics this year, not working with the egos that he would have to deal with coming into a Thunder team like this.
Right.
The Thunder roster has superstars, which, you know, he's not necessarily dealing with.
That's true.
And so it's, you know, the degree of difficulty, I think, is much, much higher.
Yeah.
So if with any coach, I don't know. I almost don't even have anyone to pick just because it's so scary.
Well, this is where Phil Jackson is a legend.
Yeah.
Because, you know, he came in two different occasions, or, you know, three if you really want to count the second Lakers comeback, where he had to come in and manage mega egos and you know, got championship results out of it. So those guys are hard to find. Just like two-way centers are hard to find.
Right.
Two-way two guards are hard to find. And you're not always going to line up that across the board. Like you say, there's going to be some flaws that you're going to have to deal with. And it's fine. You can be a flawed team and still win.
It's like with Russell Westbrook. People are so quick to criticize his game. And you put any other point guard start him on the Thunder, take Russell out and replace him with any other point guard in the league, and I've got more complaints than I have.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, the team is worse and I have more complaints.
Yeah.
And so it's a lot like that. So I don't know. The next Twitter question comes from @TimeTeo592. Is that right? I don't know if I ever get these right. All right. He wants to know, you're in a zombie apocalypse. Who would you want from the Thunder to help you out?
Mitch McGarry has shown his ability to shoot a machine gun pretty well already. A submachine gun. I'm taking Mitch. He even looks like a type that would like body type that would be in a zombie video game.
Yeah.
Just kind of a dude face. Whatever, you get what I'm saying. Mitch McGarry, you're coming with, man. You're just dumb enough and are strong enough to hold a submachine gun, so you're coming with.
I like that. That's a great answer. I would pick Anthony Morrow, because if you watch Walking Dead, they have like 90% of that is headshots, so you need a sharpshooter.
Can you imagine the celebrations?
Oh my gosh, he hits a few zombies in the head and he just starts going nuts.
They have to like calm him down, like, you need to be quiet. Like, there will be more zombies.
No, that just means he gets more headshots.
Yeah. This is great. I honestly thought this was an obvious answer, and I'm surprised you two went in different directions, because I'm taking Steven Adams.
Steven Adams, okay.
I mean, we're going to have a lot of fun during the zombie apocalypse. We're going to laugh through the zombie apocalypse.
Okay, so you're thinking more like the downtime, like between zombie killings.
Yeah, and it's boring. He's going to irritate some zombies. They're going to put punches to his face, and he's going to take it, and he's just going to march on forward. And then in the meantime, it's going to be, hey, mate, we got some zombies coming after us.
he's like not that worried about the zombie apocalypse. He's like, whatever.
Not a big deal, man.
I'm growing a mullet. It's a zombie apocalypse.
That's good. Also, if it was actually The Walking Dead, Anthony Morrow has been to Atlanta. He knows, he'll know the lay of the land.
Knows it, a little.
That's a second reason. All right. Well, the next Twitter question is from at Axel Rose for real. He wants to know, when does the revolving door at shooting guard end?
Oh man, we talked about Perk just a minute ago, and Anthony Robertson is the new Perk. I really, really would love for more Thunder fans around here to pay more attention to defense. And I know Robertson's going to get lit up. I said Anthony, didn't I?
Well, listen, Anthony Andre. Robertson, which is a combination of Anthony Morrow and Andre Robertson, is the two guard that we need on this team.
That's the dream. But
that's the dream. But anyway,
it's 6:30 a.m. I haven't fully woken up yet. There was probably another NBA player named Anthony Robertson way back when. Andre. Just the defense he brings goes unnoticed because people focus solely on the airball three pointers.
Yeah,
and so. He's in his second year in the league. He just completed. He was a power forward at Colorado. They're still transforming him. He has improved. He improved over the course of the season.
Yeah.
At one point, I can't remember exactly when, his 3-point percentage was 4.
It was in 4%. It was in January. It was January through a lot of February, I think.
Yeah.
I mean, it was a good stretch.
And I'll have to pull up exactly where he wound up, but it was much higher than that. He wound up quadrupling it at one point, and then it kept going up. So he improved as the season went on. And the guy is a super hard worker, very hard worker. And so I do believe that he can continue and that he can become less of a liability on the offensive end. I am not really concerned about Andre as a starting two guard. Now, behind him, granted, there's the Deion Waiters, Jeremy Lamb situation that I think they need to bring some clarity to. And this draft pick coming up could be the opportunity to kind of alleviate that.
Yeah. The thing that the last part of the season really showed is like defense, pretty important.
A little important.
Pretty important. And so the times like when Andre Robertson was starting, it's like, why is he starting? He's a zero on offense. He's just defense. We could probably use a just defense.
Yeah, we could have one player on the court that's
when
just
he was,
defense.
When he was gone and Serge was gone and even Nick Collison was gone, I was like, these guys do a lot.
Yeah.
And we need those guys. And so I'm fine with him continuing to start. I hope he does. It's a little bit like Perk, like the grass is always greener. Mm-hmm. You don't realize what you got till it's gone, until three defensive minded guys on your team are all hurt at the same time. And it shows, the rest of the team, not as good on defense.
It's interesting. This past chunk of games, this past month or so where we haven't been good on defense, is kind of the first time we've ever seen the Thunder just go all out on offense every game, and not, defense is kind of in the background or whatever, because Brooks and the coaching staff knows we don't really have the personnel to even play great defense. So let's go all offense, fast pace. Russ, you're taking us to the promised lane. We're scoring 140 every night, you know?
And a lot of people don't seem to understand there is almost no time for practice during a season.
Yeah.
Again, don't compare this to college and high school. When you've got 82 games over 6 months, this is a sprinting marathon. And so when you're playing 3 days a week, they'll have shoot-arounds, they'll have game, film sessions, they'll have walkthroughs, but actually, practice like two-a-days or whatever doesn't happen during the season. So there's only so much they can really do to kind of help that out. And they need the benefit of a training camp. They need the benefit of a preseason. They need to start next season and kind of slowly build the momentum. This is a work in progress.
Yeah. I think a training camp for guys like Deion Waiters, for Enes Kanter, is going to be huge. Mm-hmm. Like
Mitch McGarry.
Mitch McGarry. We're going, these guys are guys who need a training camp and who benefit a lot from it. And so I think next year, I'm already looking forward to the Thunder next year, because if we're all healthy, it's going to be great.
It's going to be
away.
Great.
Yeah.
It's 6 months away.
Oh, that's a long time.
John,
that's
don't
a long
do that
time.
To me.
There's a lot of basketball left in the NBA.
Now, we do get an Avengers movie before then, so we got that going for us,
that's
which
true.
Is nice.
We have Women's World Cup, Luke's favorite.
Oh, God. Why? No, that's not even...
that's your favorite, man.
No, that's not a thing.
Come on, Alex Morgan. Gonna score some goals.
I don't know who that is. You could have made up that name. I would have been like, great. So let's move on to the next Twitter question. It is from @Sean_Woods15. And he wants to know, what appendage would you give for a healthy KD/Ibaka and to be in the playoffs?
I'm not going to give an appendage that like I'll need for the rest of my life. I'm not that kind of fan where I'm like going to really sacrifice something important. You know what I mean? For one year of success. This isn't even saying for a championship. So I could be like, I could be losing something for another, you know, out in the Western Conference Finals. Yeah. So I'm cutting off the first knuckle at your pinky, not even full pinky,
right? Not full pinky.
First knuckle off. So I lose the nail, but like whatever. I just bite it anyway. Just bite that nail off anyway. There's barely a nail there anyway. So that's what I'm cutting off. Not sacrificing.
That's about all I'd be willing to surrender. And it would take tense negotiations to arrive at that point.
Yeah. Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'm taking a full foot.
A full foot.
Full foot. I don't need it. I'm cutting it off right about at the shin.
That's too. You don't even need to cut it off that high.
Well, I want to. A little bit of leg. I mean, yeah, I want to. I'm thinking so I can get a good, you know, like fake leg so I can run. I never get tired.
Oh, yeah. Get one of those springy exactly. Legs. Those are really cool,
They're
man.
Pretty cool. So
I probably sacrificed my leg just so I could wear one of those. I don't care how well the Thunder do.
Yeah, because if you cut off pinky, you're not going to get like a third of a pinky, like fake pinky.
No, but you were pranking the crap out of some people. That's you know what I mean? Like, you hit my head.
I think Matthew Perry from Friends, he doesn't have like that much of his like
really
the top 3/4 of his middle finger.
Yeah.
If you look at him waving in pictures, like, yeah, a really short middle finger.
I did not know that.
You can't flip people off as well. Still can. Not
still
as well.
Can. Not as offensive though.
Like, they're it's like, not full. Oh, that's cute. So let's move on to our next question. It is from @Wolftooth, and he wants to know, if the Thunder players took a summer vacation together, where would they go and what would they do?
They're going to, I want them to go to Scotland, and I don't care what they do, but they're all wearing kilts the whole time.
Oh, that's good.
They're all wearing kilts, and some of them are too tall. They don't make kilts that long, so they're a little short. A little dressy, a little schoolgirl dressy looking. It's getting weird, I know.
It is.
It's getting weird.
All right.
But it's just funny. They're wearing kilts. Scotland.
I would say I want them to go. I want them to go to Hawaii.
Hawaii.
But also go down under. Go down under and visit Stephen Adams, because Hawaii is just nice. But I want them to go to Stephen Adams' hometown, New Zealand, and see where he's from, and maybe grow to appreciate him a little bit more. Hmm. Have him show him the sights. Hmm.
I was thinking about that because maybe if you do the haka dance, that gets you into like a defensive stance, and if you do that over and over, maybe that begins to register and seep in a little bit.
So that's how we're getting Cantor better at defense.
No, that's haka.
The haka dance. That's how he's going to get better. That's the only way.
Nonstop haka.
Let's go over the playoff matchups. We're going to just say a little bit about what we're looking forward to, maybe what we think is going to win. First in the West, Warriors and the Pelicans.
So this could be interesting. I'm not sure because the Pelicans they're so confusing. I'm so excited to see how well they're going to do in the playoffs. I've been watching them all year, and they truly play their best when they're playing the better teams, and they play their worst when they're playing the worst teams. So it's very confusing if you just look at the... I don't know why. Maybe that's a coaching issue that I don't understand, whatever. But I think that they're gonna take a game from the Warriors.
I think so, too. I was thinking about that.
I think it's going to be 5.
Well, with Anthony Davis, that dude is incredible. So, yeah, I would not be surprised to see one game where Ryan Anderson is just unconscious from deep.
They call him the flamethrower.
Yeah.
In New Orleans, yeah.
Do they really? Like love me some Ryan Anderson. So, and yeah, Anthony Davis is just a stud. So, yeah, I think they could take a game. Plus, maybe one of the Golden State players will say something to them that they shouldn't before the game. Like, oh, this is just a practice for us, and it'll fire him up. And But it is bizarre. Like, at one point, we were looking at the Pelican schedule down the stretch. We were like, oh, Golden State lost. San Antonio lost.
Yeah.
And they win those.
Yeah. They win both.
Yeah. Yeah, unreal.
It's crazy. And I think we're saying a lot about Golden State by saying, kind of gushing over the Pelicans a little bit and saying that they will win one game because they're pretty good, you know?
I mean, we're talking about a team who's going to be, like, historically great.
Oh, yes.
And I think we'll go deep into the playoffs. Let's say the Pelicans, I'll just be different, I'll say they win two games.
Two games.
Just because Anthony Davis is just going to rip people up.
Yeah.
And we'll see, but I don't know.
Anthony Davis, the thing with the Pelicans is they can get, if Tyreek is getting to the rack and he's passing it and Ashiq is catching the ball, like literally, that helps so much.
Yeah.
Just Tyreek and Ashiq being good on offense.
Maybe helps so if much. They hypnotize Tyreek and say, you're playing the Thunder.
Yeah.
The Thunder are defending you. He'll go off for 40.
He'll go off for 40. She's like 12 of 15 every game.
Yeah, that's a great idea. Our next playoff matchup is the Rockets and the Mavs. This is a dream matchup for me. These are two teams that hate each other.
This is so interesting.
Yeah. It couldn't have shook out better for me as a fan of the NBA. That's two teams that just, and two owners that hate each other, just everything.
Oh my gosh. I know everyone's been talking about, I hope we get a Maury and Mark Cuban battling over Twitter during this series at one point. It'd be so great if that happened.
Yeah. I do think the Rockets, I think this one goes to seven. I think it's going to be ugly. I think the Rockets will win.
I think it'll go six. I think Houston's going to beat him in six. I don't see anyone on the Mavs being able to slow down Harden. Yeah. Who is their best defender they can put on Harden? Rondo, people are saying Rondo, but you know, they also have Al-Farouq Aminu, who's a pretty good one-on-one defender too. Yeah. He's a little bigger, he's slower. I'm sure Harden can even take him, but like that's their best shot, and that's where I see it.
Yeah, he's going to eat Monte's lunch.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
I don't see any way around that. So I'm also thinking six. And I think I'm being a little generous there. I don't think too highly of these Mavericks, and the Rockets have overachieved as the season has gone on. I mean, again, that's a team that some picked probably slip out of the playoff picture in the West, and they're the two seed. So,
yeah,
I think six is probably a good number there.
Yeah, it's gonna be fun to watch. I am looking forward to that. Probably out of all of these. That's what I'm looking forward to.
Chandler Parsons.
Chandler Parsons is going to be great.
Oh, he's going to average 25 points.
There's going to be one game where he just has an FU game where he's raining threes.
It might be an FU series.
It could be.
It could be an FU series for Chandler Parsons.
Our next playoff matchup is Clippers and the Spurs.
Gosh, this is a crazy first round matchup.
It really is.
One of these teams is going to take some heat for losing this series, and I almost feel bad for the Clippers if they lose this, because they're just going to keep getting the same crap they get every single year, which is why can't Chris Paul get them past the second round, first or second round, can't take them anywhere. And but I don't know, I'm actually going seven in this.
Really?
I think the Clippers are pretty good. Their bench is monumentally worse than the Spurs, and that's where it's going to go Spurs in seven, but the Clippers do have a home court advantage, so I think they'll win at home, and the Spurs will take one at there. Obviously they have to, but I just can't see the Clippers beating the Spurs without a bench.
I think the Spurs will win this, but I think they'll win it in five or six. I just don't.
I was going to say five.
Yeah, I just think prediction. The Clippers, you know, it's just going to keep that storyline of Chris Paul not being able to contribute, and it's going to drive Clippers fans and just basketball fans in general nuts.
The Clippers are about as good as they're going to get, quite honestly. Unless Blake Griffin makes that leap. And he's got a lot of players to leap over when you think about Anthony Davis and Russell Westbrook. And, you know, he's the guy that if they're going to improve substantially, it's probably going to be him that does it. DeAndre Jordan, he's pretty much hit his ceiling. And then other than that, they've just got an assorted cast of role players that you could interchange those. But I don't really see how they can get a whole lot better without doing something drastic. And San Antonio, the way that they've played down the stretch, I mean, they lost the Pelicans game, granted, but they were rolling teams.
Yeah.
11 beforehand.
Yeah.
So I think they're clued in. I think they may be a little bit ticked that they fell into the into where they did in the playoff picture, and
we got something to prove now. So I think this is where they're going to do it.
The Spurs do struggle with athleticism and speed. I mean, if there is one Achilles heel for them, it is the other team being faster and can and being able to jump higher than them, and that is the Clippers. I mean, their first five on the Clippers are so good. I mean, their starting five are unreal, and you have two big guys who are just supreme athletes, and you have Chris Paul who can play so well with them. So they are going to struggle with Blake, and they are going to struggle with DeAndre.
And then they're going to bring in Hedo Turkoglu and Spencer Hawes.
Yeah, exactly. And that's where it's going to go down. They're going to hang with the Spurs, and then as soon as Austin Rivers is coming in leading that bench,
that's true. Yeah,
the Spurs are going to eat their lunch.
Yeah.
So that's where it's going to end.
Our next playoff matchup is Blazers and Grizzlies. You know, 2 weeks ago I would have said the Grizzlies just clean up on this spot. Is Marc Gasol coming? How is his ankle coming? Is
he's good.
He's good. He's back.
He's been playing. It doesn't look bad. He had 33, his career high, on the last night of the season. Back. So he's back.
Well, then I think the Grizzlies take the Blazers in five. I think the Blazers have one game where Damian Lillard's playing his butt off and win one, but I don't know beyond that. I think the Grizzlies take this. They were, before Marc Gasol's injury, they were great. People were saying, like, this could be the team. And I think they find that again.
Portland is so banged up right now.
Oh, yeah.
Not only, obviously, you know, Wes Matthews being out, but Aflalo getting injured as well, and Darrell Wright. And LaMarcus Aldridge has been playing all season with a torn ligament.
Yeah.
The wheels are coming off at the wrong time for this team, unfortunately. And Memphis, there's a team that was pretty much a two seed all season. And, you know, they slid down into six towards the end of the season. They had their own share of injuries as well, but it sounds like they're going to be a relatively full strength.
Yeah. And everyone always says the game always slows down in the playoffs. And that's exactly what Memphis wants to happen. And they're going to slow down Portland. And Portland has, I mean, they have Damian Lillard and LaMarcus Aldridge. You know, Damian Lillard, if Conley's back, Conley is a great defender.
Yes.
Damian Lillard's going to have a hard time.
Yeah.
LaMarcus Aldridge is going to get his. I mean, that's fine. You let LaMarcus Aldridge get his knowing no one else can really do anything on this. Yeah. So I also think Memphis is going to take this in five.
Last year in the playoffs, LaMarcus Aldridge was just a monster.
Oh, a monster.
Mm-hmm. And so, but he is going up against, you know, Marc Gasol and Zebo, who are going to make it tougher for him. I don't think he faced two bigs that are that good in the playoffs last year. I don't remember, but it's gonna be good. But I just think the Grizzlies are the better team, especially with the Blazers dealing with so many injuries. Next in the East, Hawks and Nets. This is over in four.
Yeah, I think sweep. This is a sweep.
It is. It is an injustice that the Brooklyn Nets are in the playoffs.
Oh, my gosh.
There is absolutely no reason why this should be a reality. And I wrote about this yesterday, and I had been on the, you know, on the bus for playoff reform even before the Thunder got left out, and I would be on that bus if it was Anthony Davis left out.
Yeah.
This is the time of year where the NBA needs its best teams and its best players featured. And for the Brooklyn Nets to be there and for Russell Westbrook not to be, even the Utah Jazz would be more interesting and more than the Brooklyn Nets. So it's a travesty that they're even in the picture.
It is. And they're just going to get smoked by Atlanta. I mean, who is their guy? Brooke Lopez? Brooke Lopez is good. He's really good.
He came on the second half of the season.
He did, but now he's going against a great one-on-one defender in Al Horford, who's like, and he's gonna get points, but Al Horford is great. Like, they just have no one to go against the Hawks.
Yeah.
Basically, the Hawks hedge them out at almost every other position. You know, you have Joe Johnson, who can hit big shots, and he's good, but Deron Williams has been mediocre, has been middle of the pack point guard for 2 years now. I just don't see anything. They're not exceptionally good at one thing, at anything, really. And the Hawks are exceptionally good at offense, and so you're gonna get smoked.
Yeah, I agree. Well, let's move on to our next, which is Cavs and Celtics. I think I want to say this is five. I think the Cavs, they've been playing better than we've expected. I want them, the Cavs, not to be really prepared and then to come out and steal one away, but just one.
I think this is Sweep City again.
Really? Think so?
Yeah.
I would give him five as well, because again, yeah, just that one game,
yeah,
where, yeah, the Celtics put everything together, but otherwise, yeah, five at most. Yeah.
The Cavs are just so much more talented, and that's what it is, and so much more experienced and everything, and Brad Stevens is a good coach, but you're going against LeBron James,
yeah,
and you're going against Kyrie Irving, and who knows what Kevin Love can do, but it's almost like you don't even need Kevin Love to be Kevin Love on this team. They're still so good.
And Timofey Mozgov as your rim protector.
Yeah.
You know, even if the Celtics do, you know, penetrate and get to the rim, they've got, yeah, the giant Russian there to take care of that.
Yeah, that is true.
Yeah. I don't see a lot of hope for Boston there.
I don't see them. When this Cavs team wants to lock down on defense too, and like you were saying with Timofey Mozgov at the rack, I just, who's going to score on this Boston team besides Isaiah Thomas?
Yeah.
No, I mean, no one. No, that's one true, can really.
Not Brandon Bass. No.
I don't, Evan, know. Turner? Is that who you're counting? You know?
It's going to be.
I don't know. But it's good. It's good experience for the Celtics, I guess. Is that what you say when a team's, yeah, going to get smoked in the playoffs?
Yeah, good experience.
It's good experience.
That's what I would have said about the Thunder if they were in the playoffs. Oh, it's good that, you know, yeah, it's good that some of the guys are getting some experience.
Yeah.
But no. Next is Bulls and Bucks.
Five?
I don't know. Honestly, I could see this going to like six, maybe. Who knows?
I don't see Milwaukee pulling out more than one win in this game.
No, I was thinking sweep.
Yeah. Yeah.
My initial hunch, especially now that the Bulls are back.
Yeah.
They seem to be back to full strength at this point going into the postseason, which is what you want to be. Milwaukee has got some nice players. But I just don't really see where they're going to be able to put up a whole lot of much of a fight, yeah, here.
It's in other words, like, I'm glad they're getting experience because they're going, I mean, they're getting better and they're going to be getting better. But it's just hard for me to trust Derrick Rose and his body.
You never will, man. You'll never trust Derrick Rose.
I've been burned too many times. And so it's just tough. But I could see, this is one where I was like, I have no idea.
Yeah.
This could be anything.
This Bucks team, though, is a team that personally I'm glad are in the playoffs because they are fun to watch.
They are, yeah.
Right? You have Chris Middleton, who's really come on.
Middleton,
and that's
really good.
And that guy's going to make some money. And you have, you know, Giannis Antetokounmpo, who's going to be
nice.
So fun. I've been practicing.
Really
I've been practicing.
Good.
Giannis Antetokounmpo.
So a little sidebar here since you brought up Chris Middleton.
Yeah.
And this is going to tie it back to the Thunder for just a moment here. I have seen people proposing the idea of doing a sign and trade for Chris Middleton, and I am glad that people recognize the two-way,
yeah,
ability,
yeah,
of Chris Middleton. However, the Thunder are very unlikely to do a sign-and-trade this summer. There are some salary cap implications by doing that. They would hard cap themselves at a certain amount that they could not go over by doing a sign-and-trade. There's some base year compensation issues that come in. It would be extremely super complicated. It sounds nice in theory, but no, they're not going to do a sign and trade for Chris Middleton, and not with Enes Kanter. Enes Kanter is more than likely coming back.
Yeah, okay. I agree. Our next playoff matchup, Raptors and the Wizards, or Rapsards.
Rapsards. As far as mascots go and like team names, this is exciting.
This is
maybe like the most exciting one.
Battle of the Beasts.
Oh my gosh. Wizards would win, though. I mean, we've gone over Battle of the Mascots.
Yeah.
Wizards would beat everybody.
Wizards are so powerful.
You don't beat a wizard.
But as the actual NBA teams, if this were, you know, the first half of the seasons, I would say Raptors. I still say Raptors on this one, but I think it goes seven.
Yeah. I mean, they're both pretty close, and they've both been pretty okay for,
yeah,
since
it's two teams that one of them, it's whoever can hit that next gear, and both teams need to.
Yeah. I'm going to go seven here, and I'm going to go Toronto just because they have home court. I mean, really.
Yeah.
Like, other than that, I just don't see a huge advantage. You can argue both sides.
Now, Washington, they are the fifth best team in terms of defensive rating for the year. Toronto is, well way below that.
Yeah, way below that.
But Toronto is the fourth best offensive rating
yeah,
for
yeah.
the season. So, Yeah, I think Wizards, and I think it could go seven, but that seems a little strange for the Wizards to win a game seven on the road. So
yeah.
I'm going to go ahead and stick with that for now, but that's simply because Toronto has not played well as the season wore on.
They haven't played well. I'm interested to see how Kyle Lowry does against a John Wall, who is a really good defender. I mean, people don't talk about John Wall's one-on-one defense. He's a really good defender, and John Wall is just bigger and faster than him too. So that's going to be a really interesting matchup.
Yeah, Wall should be on the all defensive team this year.
Yeah, that guy is really good. And Beal DeRozan. I mean, you have two really good guard matchups here in this series that's going to be fun to watch. But I think it'll go Toronto simply because they have home court advantage.
And moving on, we don't have a game this week, do we?
No, this was our game. How you won? You guys won.
Yay, we're all winners.
Yay!
Well, let's move on to our Say What stat of the week.
Say what?
Say what?
Say what?
Say what?
Say what?
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 I can't read lips, Jay. Say what?
Stat of the week. I'll start, and it's not a traditional stat, but the last time a player that had the year like Russ has had didn't make the playoffs, or was it? I saw something. This could be completely wrong. So I'm kind of making it up, but I saw it was like 1953. Is that right at all?
I don't know.
I saw that somewhere, and so I'm claiming that that's true. But it's
good
not.
Stat.
It's not a stat. Yeah. So you go ahead.
Mine also. Andrew's about to be so peeved at us because mine isn't really a stat either. Mine is Daredevil. Started watching Daredevil yesterday.
Good.
It's really good.
We were talking about
Netflix.
Before.
We were talking about it.
Extremely good.
A Netflix original series and the whole season. How many episodes are on?
13. Mm-hmm.
Started it yesterday. It's really good.
It is good.
So check it out. Very realistic. Did a really good job. A little more gruesome. There's some realness in this show, man. For a comic book show.
It really is good. They, it's very like almost dark night.
Yeah, Batman, yeah, yeah.
Just in the physicality of it, but it's good.
It's really good.
It's the first miniseries of five planned for Marvel at Netflix.
Really? Yeah.
So if you like, they have four miniseries that are going to all the characters that they introduce are going to combine to form the Defenders, and they have their own miniseries.
So after this, I forget which one is next. It might
after
be
this is Jessica Luke, Jones.
Is it Jessica Jones?
I think it's Jessica Jones, and then Power Man,
Luke Cage,
and then Iron Fist.
Wow,
it's gonna be cool.
That's gonna be cool.
Yeah,
those are interesting. These are all interesting characters to build TV shows around too. Because they're not the most popular.
They're not the most popular, and they wouldn't necessarily work as a movie. And so I think that's why they're doing it. And the other thing about them is they're all like, they don't have like, the one's not an Asgardian guard, one's not Iron Man.
Right,
they're not that
right.
level. They're more street level
characters. Yeah.
It's like, they're more like Hawkeye, which is like, oh, they add them on in the Avengers movie.
Yeah.
So instead of doing that with all of them, we're like, oh, they get 5 minutes of screen time in the first Avengers. They're like, okay, let's pull them out and give them their own miniseries. And so far, I think it's been very good.
Cool.
John, do you have a reel?
I have a stat of the week. I use this in a Daily Thunder article.
Okay.
Over the course of the season, Kevin Durant played in 27 games for the Thunder.
Okay.
Ish Smith played in 30 games for the Thunder.
Oh my goodness.
Think about it. I had to sit and stare at the Basketball Reference page like, that's not right. There is something wrong. Someone calculated. No, Ish Smith played in three more games this season than Kevin Durant.
Oh my God.
That is
sad.
So sad.
I hate that. That's actually my miffed and peeved. That is terrible. Kevin Durant, man, miss you so much. Those 27 games, so memorable too. Just because I wanted Kevin Durant back so much, was so happy when he was back.
To me, they're not very memorable to me because he wasn't at full strength.
Yeah.
I was just like, ugh.
But maybe that's what was memorable was you had Kevin Durant coming back, and then you had Kevin Durant for a couple of games, that Nuggets game, and then the first half of the Warriors game where you're like,
that Warriors game.
Oh God, it's terrible. It's great, but then it's terrible. That was the real Kevin Durant, and you're so happy he's back. It does feel like it was a different season, though. Like, when I think of those games, they're not in this season. This season is all a lot of Reggie, a lot of Sebastian Telfair.
Yeah.
Does everyone forget that Sebastian Telfair was on this team?
I purposely forgot.
He started a game.
Yeah.
He started a game for the Thunder along with Lance Thomas.
Yeah.
At one point during the year. It does feel like you said, different seasons.
Yeah.
It was all one, but like different chapters.
Yeah.
Like we had the dark ages, the 3-12, and then Kevin Durant returns and things get better. And then Kevin Durant goes out and then he comes back and then he goes out.
And then there's the trade and we have a completely different team.
Yeah.
And then
It's going to be on a 30 for 30 one year. Just how crazy this season was.
Yeah, just batty.
My miffed and peeved.
Miffed and peeved.
Is Anthony Davis's three-pointer that they've now gone back and like, this is it. Like, this is why they're in. This is why the Thunder aren't. And that, I just remember when it happened, it was so crazy. And it stood out when it happened, when they beat us off his three-pointer. And now it's like, that was it. That was the end of our season.
It's terrible.
And I've seen it now 5 or 6 times on different things when they talk about the Thunder. It's like, that's the play that they show. And so it's made me miff.
And it is unfair to say this is the one play, but it's also very easy to take that one play and be like, well, this is why. This is what did
so
it.
So it's miffed and peeved, but it's a sad peeve. Sad peeve.
Yeah. That night, so I was down at Flint getting ready for the post game show for 107.7, and we're watching the game, and it got late because the Thunder had a lead in the fourth quarter that dissipated. And if I remember correctly, there was a point in that game where the Thunder had the ball and it was swung to Robertson for a wide open three, and everyone in the restaurant in unison went, no! and I believe he wound up driving and getting a layup out of it rather than an open shot. But then, as play resumed, Russell Westbrook got fouled taking a three-point shot, which was probably bad because then that trained him to think that I can get this going forward, and he kept trying it at inopportune times. But he hit the three free throws, tied the game up. We're thinking we're going to overtime. And then Anthony Davis hit this shot that was well defended, a double clutch, 30 feet out. Had he hit a three-pointer prior to that?
I think that...
No, it was the sole three-pointer of his entire season.
Yeah. And so here we had this great excitement building up to the post-game show, and then the shot hits, and then we've got, 20 seconds.
Oh, what did he do?
Yeah, like, wow. And... obviously at the time, that's kind of huge because they lost the tiebreaker with the Pelicans at that point. We didn't realize how massive that loss actually was at the time. And in hindsight, it's mind boggling.
Yeah, it is. My miffed and peeved is yesterday I went to the movie theater and I left before the movie started to go to the bathroom. I walked in the bathroom and at the AMC at Quail Springs, there's a hallway. When you go into the bathrooms, there's kind of like a hallway in the bathroom. So I go in and I accidentally bump into these two girls on my way into the bathroom in the hallway. I'm like, oh, I'm sorry. And they're like, and then I walk in and I say, oh, wait, those were girls. And then I look around, I'm in the girls' bathroom. So I immediately turn around and I'm following them out, and they're freaked out. They're like teenage girls, and I'm following them out. I'm so embarrassed. Like, I don't say anything. I go, oh my God, this is so embarrassed. I walked all the way into the girls' bathroom. and they're like looking around and walking faster and like pushing the one in front of her, like to go away from me because they think I'm some weirdo, I guess. So I miffed and peeved at myself for doing that. And
Man,
it's creepy.
Bad. That's crazy. I've been in guys' bathrooms where girls have just walked in an accident and they don't leave. They've just used the bathroom.
And they're so embarrassed. They're like, I gotta finish this.
And I was like, if this is a guy in the girls' bathroom, that doesn't happen.
No, that doesn't fly.
So,
it's unfair.
Yeah.
Well,
wait.
Are you miffed? Are you peeved? What are you miffed about?
So I completely forgot that I was in a fantasy basketball league this season.
Well, I wish I could have forgotten. Mine went really bad.
I never played fantasy basketball prior to this year. I've done fantasy football before, but it was a league that was thrown together, and we had our draft, and I think I might have kind of interacted for the first few weeks, but then life happened.
Yeah.
And it's not something that I got in the habit of. And like, I literally didn't remember until yesterday, like, oh yeah, I was in this league. Somehow I finished 67, 102 and 2, eighth out of 12. So I feel bad for the four people below me that were probably trying as hard as they possibly could. I was playing the likes of Kobe Bryant, who he stopped playing at some point.
Playing. A little bit. A little bit into the season.
Yeah. I had Josh Smith, which before the season I thought was going to be a great value pick because Stan Van Gundy's going to rejuvenate his career.
Yeah.
And he did, just not quite in the way that we thought.
by trading him, he did rejuvenate his career. Yeah.
I had Brooke Lopez, which he missed a chunk of the season with an injury, and I just let him roll. I had Larry Sanders on my
team. Oh, my God. Okay. These four people you beat were also not playing and had that, the other injured team.
And I also picked up smartly at the beginning of the season, Perry Jones.
Yeah.
And did not make any change whenever he bruised his knee four games in the year. So anyway, I was just miffed and peeved that, oh, yeah, you're was in a fantasy basketball league.
Wasted season, man.
Yeah.
That happens. You know what? A wasted season is so much worse when you are trying and you do remember the whole season. And you do worse.
Yeah. I had that on our fantasy basketball. It was not good. Yeah. At some point, I renamed my team bad team. And so the quadruple or more B team was lived up to their name. They were not very good.
Yeah.
Well, that's it for us this week. John, thank you for being here. It was a pleasure.
Thank you very much.
I appreciate it.
And Andrew and Jay, get better. And we'll see you next week.
Thanks for listening to the Down to Dunk Podcast. You can find us at dailythunder.com and downtodunk.com. Follow us on Twitter at DTDPodcast and ask us Twitter questions every Wednesday. Subscribe to us on iTunes. Give us a 5-star iTunes review and your review will be read on the next podcast. Thanks for listening.